Hey everybody, welcome to Stewie's Thoughts Podcast, episode 21. And today I'm going to give you my thoughts about Infinity. Ooh, this is going to be a fucking mind-boggling fucking episode, guys. You're going to learn something here, I reckon. So let's get fucking stuck into it, shall we? Play the motherfucking intro. So, as always, guys, I'm going to give you my thoughts about what I've been up to recently, and I haven't done a podcast in fucking 2 weeks, alright? 2 fucking whole weeks. Obviously, you know, there's a reason for that. What do you think the reason was? Obviously, Christmas. I wasn't going to do a podcast over Christmas, was it? But, yeah, so 2 weeks, I haven't done a podcast, and I've got 2 weeks of stuff to tell you about what I've been up to recently, and you know something? It would take me a whole fucking hour. It would take me this whole episode just to tell you what I've been up to in the last 2 weeks, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. I will just scour through it and just, like, you know, this is what I've been up to this day, that day, that day, blah, 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 blah. Right, so, last day, guys, it's the last day of 2024. Do you know what really makes me funny, right? You often see, like, posts and stuff now on social media, like, you know, oh, it's the last day of the year, you know, fuck this year, fuck 2024, it's been shit. Oh, fuck, I can't wait to see the back of this fucking year and all this here, blah, 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 right? But what are they going to do on, like, the 1st of January? They're going to be like, this is going to be the best year ever. This year's my year. Everything's going to be great. And then come the end of fucking 2025, they're like, fuck Christmas, fuck 2025, fucking here comes 2026, see you later 2025, you know. Every year, it's the same shit. Right, every year is just going to be shit. It's going to have its ups and downs. Every year has its ups and downs, doesn't it? Fuck's sake. So, yeah, can't wait for all these posts to fucking stop happening. Like, oh, fuck 2024. Just get over it, right? It's a shit year. Next year's going to be even more shit. Fuck it. Who gives a shit, right? Anyway, so this is the 31st of December. And then yesterday I was at a 21st birthday party. So this is Mia's 21st birthday party, and it was at Stockton House, which is in Shifnal. Now, the funny thing about Stockton House, right, it's a local venue for me, and when I say local, I mean it's an hour away, which is actually quite local, and I've been to every single venue around where I work, and I've never been to this place. Out of the whole 4 years I've been drawn, I've never been to Stockton House, and guess what? I've been there twice in a week. It's like a bus. You wait for a bus and nothing comes, and then two comes at once. And you're like, what the fuck? So yeah, so it was a surprise birthday party. She turned up nice, and you know, everyone jumped out, surprise, and then she was all fucking, oh my god, I didn't know you were all there. And then you know, and then that was it. It was just a birthday party. So there you go. So I was drawn at that. It went down really, really well. I was only there for 3 hours, so I did as many drawings as I possibly could within them 3 hours. And then obviously I drew the birthday girl, and then I drew the birthday girl's father and took the absolute fucking mick out of his picture. You should see that one, guys. It's fucking hilarious. So that was that. And then before that was Sunday the 29th, and I did Hannah and Jordan's wedding, which was in Foxfields County. Sorry, Country. Country. Okay, I can't even speak. Foxfields Country Hotel, which is just outside Blackburn. And it was a fucking, sorry, my phone's in the way. It was a fucking brilliant wedding, that one. So it was a lot of crazy people, shall we say. Not crazy in a bad way, but crazy in a good way. Everyone was just fucking up for a laugh, and there was a guy there, right? Now, I don't drink when I'm at weddings and stuff, like when I'm drawing caricatures. I like to stay completely sober. I can't draw, right? If I have a bit of alcohol in my system, like, I cannot draw. Like, I don't know, I use my subconscious mind when I'm drawing, and it fucks me up if I have one beer. And this guy was just like, oh, you're Irish, and he's like, fucking get him a double whiskey. And I'm like, man, no, I'm all right, I'm not gonna drink that. And he was just like, no, fucking get him a, he fucking got me it, right, brought it over to me, and I was like, I'm not gonna fucking drink this. So I set it down, and he was staring at it, and he was staring at me to the point where I was like, if, you know, I'm going to have to fucking drink this. So I ended up, I fucking necked it. And then he cheered, and he's like, yeah, yeah, cheers, man, yeah, Irish, fucking Irish, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, my instant reaction was like, I need to go to the fucking toilet and barf this back up again. But he was, you know what, he was a nice guy. So, and it didn't really affect my drawings that much, I don't think. Yeah, it did. Yeah, looking at them now, arguably, my pictures were better. But yeah, so thank you to him. I don't even, didn't get his name, but shout out to you, mate, for giving me that shot of double fucking whiskey. First time I've had a whiskey in a long time, actually, you know. And yeah, so it's just scarring over these. So did that. It was good. Bride and groom loved it. You know, business as usual, as I say. And then, 29th, so the 28th of December, I went to Ali and Carr's wedding, which was at the Village Hotel in Dudley. So a lot of yam yams around there. So there was, if you know what a yam yam is, you know what I'm talking about. And it was a good wedding, very very friendly family vibe to it, you know. So like, it wasn't a massive wedding compared to, like, you know, some of the ones I've been to where there's like fucking 300 people at it. There was about, I think it was about 60 people at this one. And I love them ones. I love the little, you know, family get together wedding type weddings. They're the best ones, I think. It's more intimate, I would say. And there was a guy there, and everyone kept coming up to me and going, there's a guy that looks like Shrek. Like, you should do Shrek ears on him and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, who are you talking about? And they were like, once you see him, you will know who it is. And then, lo and behold, about half an hour later, I just turned around. Some guy just caught eyes with me, and I was like, there he is. There he is. There's the Shrek guy. And let me tell you something, he looked fucking exactly like him. And I might, you know something, the pictures that I did of him was so good, I think I'm going to actually put it on the Stewie's Thoughts Podcast Facebook page and Instagram. So check that out, guys. It's fucking hilarious. I did the whole fucking Shrek thing on him. I did the whole, you know, Shrek outfit and the ears, and then the only thing I did was basically just change his eyes, like Shrek's eyes, to this guy's eyes, and it looks exactly like him. It's fucking funny. So one of the funniest ones I've done in a while, actually. And everybody loved it. Everybody was like giggling and laughing and stuff while I was drawing it, and he didn't know that I was drawing him as Shrek, and everybody else did, and he couldn't see it, and everybody else could see it but apart from him. And he was just sitting there going, why the fuck is everyone laughing at me? Like, what the fuck? And then once I turned it around and showed him, he was just like, okay, I get it now. I look like Shrek, and everybody wanted me to be drawn like Shrek. So they did that, and it was really, really fucking funny. There you go. So that was the 28th of December. So as you can tell, guys, I'm fucking, even from Christmas to now, like, I'm still super busy. So obviously before that, we have, what was that event that just came up there? What was it? Christmas. So Christmas had a day off. I'm not going to go into too much about Christmas Day because, you know, I'm sure everybody's fucking sick of listening to about Christmas, right? I'm just glad it's over. I'm a proper Scrooge when it comes to Christmas. I'm just like, right, get this over and done with. I'm fucking done, right, move on. So Christmas, don't need to really go into much detail about that. Played games, you know, did the whole Christmassy thing. And then before that was the 23rd of December, and I was back at, guess where? Stockton House. So it was Kelly's wedding. Sorry, Kelly and Gary. So Kelly and Gary's wedding, again, at Stockton House. So that was pretty good. I was there for a few hours, and it was the first time I actually went to Stockton House, and they were just like, oh, you know, the staff there are really bubbly, really happy, and really funny. Like, they'd be good on a podcast or something, I reckon. And so apart from that, so shout out to Kelly and Gary. Other than that, I did, the 22nd of December, I was at Weston Park, my favourite place in the whole world, and I did their celebration Christmas dinner. I'm actually there tomorrow, so looking forward to going back there tomorrow to the restaurant part, and then I'm just going to be drawing guests while they're eating their meal. I said yes to doing it tomorrow, and I kind of regret it because I'm not going out tonight because I had to get up early tomorrow. So while everybody's out counting down, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, here comes the new year, the new best year. While everybody's doing that, I'm probably going to be in fucking bed. Well, going to bed, maybe, should I say. And this is, right, and I'm not much of a New Year's guy, right? I don't really celebrate New Year's Day, like, or Old Year's Night, or whatever the fuck it is. To be honest with you, what's so special about 2024 becoming 2025? Like, what the fuck? I mean, a millennium, yeah, you know, that's worth celebrating. Or, you know, at the end of a century, so like 2030 or something like that, that'd be worth celebrating. Or like, you know, 2069, something like that. But 2024 to 2025, why would you go? And then same with 2025 and 2026. I don't really see the point in going out and, you know, everywhere starts charging you to go into places and stuff. And it's just a complete fucking waste of money. I'd rather just, you know, a couple of beers at a friend's house or something like that. That, you know, happy New Year, yeah, whatever, right? Back to drinking. But, yeah, I don't really, this whole idea of going out and, I mean, I suppose it's just an excuse to get drunk, isn't it? Isn't that why people do it? I don't know. So, yeah, lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. And then before that, which was the 21st of December, I was in Burlington. Who puts a fucking L there? Burlington? Ton Burlington. Burlington. Burlington Manor. And that was a... Burlington Manor, and that was Jaden Callum's wedding. That was a good one. There was a German guy there, and I drew him, and mate, this guy had a fucking proper German accent. And I mean, it was proper German. It was like fucking, you know, I'm not even going to try and attempt it, but he was proper talking like this, you know, like a proper German guy. And I was just talking to him for ages, and I was just like, say this, mate, say that. Say this. Why are you getting me to say these things? He came over. He met a girl online, I believe. And then he came over and he's some sort of an engineer. And shout out to that guy because he was fucking hilarious. How many characters did I did? It was only a few hours or so. Yeah, that was a very good wedding. The venue was fucking beautiful. Think about some of these weddings, the venues I've been to recently, like Stockton House and stuff. Stockton House looks like it's brand new. I think the people took it over in like 2022, but like everything is almost like perfect. Like there's no, like in the walls, like it's just, it looks like it's been freshly painted, you know? The whole fucking place was like that. All the furniture looks exact, like brand new and stuff. So that was a, you know, keep shitting out of fucking Stockton House here. But yeah, so this one, Burlington fucking Manor one, that was a good wedding. And I think, you know, literally just scarring over these events I've done over the last couple of weeks. And how many did I do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I did 6 events since my last podcast. I've done 1, 2, 3 events since fucking Christmas. And I've got 1, 2, 3 events coming up in the next 3 days. There's me thinking January's going to be my fucking quiet year, or quiet month. And I just took another wedding booking today, a Muslim one. I'm looking forward to going to that Muslim wedding. Like, non-Muslim weddings, like Christian weddings or whatever, they're like fucking a whole day. Like, they're literally like fucking, you know, ceremony starts at 1 and stuff like that. And it goes right through to fucking, you know, 12 o'clock at night and all this kind of stuff. But Muslim ones, it's literally 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So 5 hours and that's it. It's literally going to start at 12 and end at 5. Done. It's mad, isn't it? And the thing I like about doing Muslim weddings, I've done a couple and they don't drink. So, well, most of them don't drink. And one of the hard things for me when I'm drawing caricatures of people, especially at weddings, is when they get drunk. When they get drunk, they don't fucking stay still. It's very hard to get them to stay still. And for when, like, if when they're sober, they can stay still. perfectly fine. But then once they have a bit of drink in them, they're just, they don't, half the times they don't even know they're being drawn. And they're like looking around and somebody's like walking off and they're like, yo, I'm fucking drawing you, you mad bastard, get back here. But yeah, I like it whenever people, you know, stay still. And all the Muslim weddings I've done, they're literally just like, they just sit there and they'll be like, okay, done, yes, okay, oh, I love that, done. Next person, done. And if people stay still, their caricatures will look amazing. If they move around quite a lot, then it's going to look shit. And I get that all the time. Like, I always think to myself, right, how can I get these people who are pissed, how can I get them to stay still without, like, constantly saying to them, yo, stay still, look at me, stay still. I was thinking about putting something on the back of my clipboard so that they can look and read it. But sure, if they're pissed, they won't be able to fucking see it anyway, will they? So I think I'll just, you know, just keep doing it the way I'm doing it, right? And I suppose just get better drawn. I don't know, right? But there you go. What are we on? 16 minutes. Yeah, I could literally sit here and talk for hours about what I've been up to, but we're here to learn, aren't we? We're here to fucking figure out what infinity is and how it fucking matters and all this kind of shit. And guys, this episode is going to blow your fucking minds. Let's get fucking stuck into it. Play the fucking intro. So what is infinity? Well, there's two ways of looking at it. So the first way is it's a number. So infinity is a number greater than any assignable quantity or countable number. So basically it's greater than any number that can be counted. So you can't go more than infinity, right, in maths, right? But we'll get into that. And then the other way is just like something that is borderless and completely endless. When I think of infinity, right, I think of space, you know, something like that. And, you know, during my time studying physics, and when I mean studying physics, I mean just as a hobby, I came across this program, and it was about infinity. And I didn't really give infinity much, you know, thought. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder what this is about. I watched the program, and that fucking program fucked my head up massively. And changed my life, basically, because it just changes the way I think about things. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's Road to Infinity, is it? I think it's on Netflix or something like that. Type in infinity and wherever, and you'll probably see it. I think it's fuck, I'm gonna have to fucking find this now. Because it's if you like infinity or, you know, all like spacey programs or anything like that, then it's definitely a show you want to watch. While I look for it, Infinity Program Netflix, I think it's called. Hang on, I'll fucking try and find this fucking thing. Bear with me. And we're back. The Power of Editing. Yeah, so it's called A Trip to Infinity. It's on Netflix. And I swear to fuck, when I seen this thing, I was just like, hang on a second, what? And a lot of it, like, especially if it's not something that you are familiar with, will confuse the fucking hell out of you. But for someone like myself who, you know, I am sort of, I do have a bit of knowledge about it, it still fucks my fucking head up, man. So basically, to give you an example, right, I'm going to start fucking melting your heads right now. So, I'll start with what I call the paper method. So if you can imagine, right, I'm holding an A4 sheet of paper. Okay, imagine that in your head. I've got a piece of paper. In fact, you're holding the piece of paper. How about that? So imagine you're holding the paper. And what I'm going to ask you to do is rip it in half. So you rip the paper in half. And then I say, give me that half. And then you keep that half. Right? You have to imagine this, guys. So there you're standing there with a half a sheet of paper. And then I asked you to do the same thing again. Rip it in half and give me half and then you keep the other half. So you do that. You give me half and then you're left with the other half, right? And if I kept saying that to you and kept getting you to do it, and you keep ripping it in half, giving me a bit, ripping it in half, giving me a bit. This is a question to you guys. What do you think the end result would be? So you keep doing it, ripping it in half, ripping it in half, ripping it in half. And how's that going to end? I'm pausing for you to have a little think about that. So I would assume that a lot of people are thinking, well, I'm going to rip it in half so much to the point where I'm not going to be able to rip it in half anymore. So you can't, you know, I can't physically rip it in half anymore. That's the end result. That is one end result. But there's also another result. Let's imagine, right? So you're the way you're thinking about it is like three dimensions, right? So let's say we go to fourth dimension. And you get to the point where you can't rip that bit of paper anymore. And let's say we had the power to shrink you. And we shrunk, I don't know, fucking the size of a fucking... what's funny? What's small and funny? A piece of corn and a shit. So let's say I shrunk you, right, down to a small piece of corn that's in someone's shit. And that piece of paper that you were holding when you were full size, right, that page is now the size of a house. And then I say to you again, rip it in half. So if you can do that, right, so if you imagine you're the size of a fucking bit of sweet corn that's stuck in someone's ass, and all of a sudden the paper that you couldn't fold, you couldn't rip it in half anymore, not all of a sudden now you are that size, and then the paper is the size of a house. And if you keep doing that to the point where you can't rip it in half anymore, what if we shrunk you again to like the size of an atom or something? What if we could keep shrinking you, right, and you keep ripping the paper in half, what's the end result for that? Huh? Are you with me? So if we can keep shrinking you every time you can't... if there's a point of you ripping the paper in half and you can't rip it in half anymore, but we shrunk you, and then we could keep shrinking you, like, you know, even I'm fucking baffling my own head here. But if we could keep doing that and keep shrinking you and you keep ripping the page in half, then it should go on forever, shouldn't it? Or what? Does it get to the point where you can't be shrunk anymore? Or, you know, or does it keep going on forever and ever? Like, I mean, you can't, because you're ripping it in half, you can't actually end up with nothing. So whenever I was like sort of pondering this, I came up with three sort of end results, if you like. And one of them was you end up with nothing. But that's impossible because you're constantly ripping it in half. So you can't end up with nothing because there's always going to be something there. And then you can't, you know, you know, if it keeps shrinking you, you're going to keep ripping it. So it's like, for me, it'll just keep going on forever and ever. What was the other one I came up with? Oh yeah, there's three options. So you either rip it to the point where you can't rip it anymore, and you're left with the finite bit of paper, or you have nothing, or you could keep doing it forever. And there are the three options I came up with, and I honestly think that you could just keep going forever and ever, to infinity. There's another way of looking at this, right? Let's imagine, right, you're in your house. So your house is point A, and you need to get to point B, which, let's say, it's your workplace, if you're not working from home, right? So just imagine you're in your house and you have to get to work. So what you do is you travel out halfway to your job and you stop there. So you went from your house to the halfway point to your work. Now, let's say your start point then is halfway away from your work, and then you travel almost the same distance, so halfway to your job. And if you keep doing that, so if you keep going halfway, and then halfway of that, then halfway of that, yes, you're heading towards your, you know, point B, your work, but you're only going half the journey each time. So even though you're getting closer to it, you're still half in it, so you'll never actually arrive at work. Does that make sense? People might have to fucking re-listen to this episode. So basically, it's to do with math, right? So if you're dividing by half all the time, then you're never going to get to zero. Do you know what I'm saying? So you'll constantly always go, like, you'll only go halfway all the time. So, like, you're never actually ever going to get to point B. Do you know what I'm saying? This is already fucking messing with people's heads. There might be a video, right, that might explain this bit better than me. Let me have a little look, see if I can find a video of it. Because there's a certain, it's called something, there's a certain theory or something, but I'll find it in here. Hang on a second. Okie dokie, I'm back, and I found out the guy's name, right? So it's Zeno's Paradox. So if anybody's familiar with that, it's to do with the fucking halfway point thing that I just explained. But if you're not familiar with it, I've got a little video here which will explain it all to you.
This is Zeno of Elea, an ancient Greek philosopher famous for inventing a number of paradoxes. Arguments that seem logical, but whose conclusion is absurd or contradictory. For more than 2,000 years, Zeno's mind-bending riddles have inspired mathematicians and philosophers to better understand the nature of infinity. One of the best known of Zeno's problems is called the dichotomy paradox, which means the paradox of cutting in two in ancient Greek.
Are you
about this? Something like this. After a long day of sitting around thinking, Zeno decides to walk from his house to the park. The fresh air clears his mind and helps him think better. In order to get to the park, he first has to get halfway to the park. This portion of his journey takes some finite amount of time. Once he gets to the halfway point, he needs to walk half the remaining distance. Again, this takes a finite amount of time. Once he gets there, he still needs to walk half the distance that's left, which takes another finite amount of time. This happens again and again and again. You can see that we can keep going like this forever, dividing whatever distance is left into smaller and smaller pieces.
Do you get it? Do you understand what so far? So he went halfway. So he's going from his house to his fucking friend's house, whatever, and he went halfway and he stopped. Then the distance that from where he was to his friend's house, he walked halfway from there, and then he kept doing it. So, like, you know, I'm hoping you understand this so far.
Each of which takes some finite time to traverse. So how long does it take Zeno to get to the park? To find out, we need to add the times of each of the pieces of...
So I think he won't get there, right?
The problem is, there are infinitely many of these finite-sized pieces. So, shouldn't the total time be infinity?
Yes.
This argument, by the way, is completely general. It says that travelling from any location to any other location should take an infinite amount of time. In other words, it says that all motion is impossible. This conclusion is clearly absurd, but where's the flaw in the logic? To resolve the paradox, it helps to turn the story into a math problem. Let's suppose that Zeno's house is 1 mile from the park, and that Zeno walks at 1 mile per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense tells us that the time for the journey should be 1 hour.
1 hour.
But let's look at things from Zeno's point of view and divide up the journey into pieces. The first half of the journey takes half an hour. The next part takes a quarter of an hour. The third part takes an eighth of an hour, and so on. Summing up all these times, we get a series that looks like this. Now, Zeno might say, since there are infinitely many terms on the right-hand side of the equation, and each individual term is finite, the sum should equal infinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem with Zeno's argument. As mathematicians have since realized, it is possible to add up infinitely many finite-sized terms and still get a finite answer.
Hi.
How, you ask?
What?
Well, let's think of it this way. Let's start with a square that has area 1 unit. Now let's chop the square...
Even I'm fucking learning something here. I didn't even know about this video.
Half, and then chop the remaining half in half.
This is what I was talking about. Paper.
While we're doing this, let's keep track of the areas of the pieces.
It's smaller.
The first slice makes two parts, each with an area of 1/2.
Mm-hmm.
The next slice divides one of those halves in half, and so on. But no matter how many times we slice up the boxes, the total area is still the sum of the areas of all the pieces. Now you can see why we chose this particular way of cutting up the square. We've obtained the same infinite series as we had for the time of Zeno's journey. As we construct more and more blue pieces, to use the math jargon, as we take the limit as n tends to infinity, the entire square becomes covered with blue. But the area of the square is just 1 unit, and so the infinite sum must equal 1. Going back to Zeno's journey, we can now see how the paradox is resolved.
Now, you see, that's where I come into it, right, where I think infinity, because it basically said, you know, what I was saying, that if you rip a bit of paper in half and blah, 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 eventually you're going to get to the point where you can't actually rip a bit of paper in half anymore. So mathematically, that would be 1, because you got 1 piece, do you know what I mean? But then, fourth dimensionally, or whatever, or when my little mind thinks, well, what if I can shrink myself? Then that page, that blue page he was just talking about, becomes a massive fucking bit of paper. Then you can just keep cutting it in half again, half again, half again. I'm fucking melting my own brain.
Not only does the infinite series sum to a finite answer, but that finite answer is the same one that common sense tells us is true. Zeno's journey takes 1 hour.
There you go. You're probably none the fucking wiser now, are you? That video is going to be on the Stewie's Thoughts podcast Facebook page and Instagram. So if you want to check that out for some visuals and then sort of make up your mind. Guys, if you want to contact me at any point, just go on to Stewie's Thoughts website or, you know, comment on the podcast or anything like that with your theories. Because, you know, I'm still fucking wondering about this. I'm wondering, like, you know, can you go to infinity? Like, can you be shrunk? You know, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Ant-Man or something like that. In fact, this is the most simple way I can put it. Imagine you had a sheet of paper, you kept ripping it in half, ripping it in half, ripping it in half, and then the guy fucking from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids shrinks you. Then all of a sudden, that piece of paper that you couldn't rip in half anymore is massive, and then you can keep doing it, and then keep getting shrunk. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, could you do that for infinity? And then you're probably thinking to yourself, well, no, because, you know, you're only going to get so small, and then you can't go smaller anymore. But what I'm saying is, you can keep going. Keep going, keep going. I mean, to give you an idea of the size of an atom, it's fucking tiny. I can't really give you an idea of how tiny it is, but I mean, there is videos and stuff I've seen before, and it kind of explains how fucking, you know, the size of an electron, how like fucking small it is. That's my thought on like infinity, as far as, you know, as it being like a fucking, you know, ripping something in half, can you go down further, you know, infinity, blah, 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 blah. But one of the other things about infinity that really fucking freaks me out is space, right? So imagine space, right? Here's a question for you. How does it end? Pause. How does it end? Is there a wall? What's on the other side of the wall? You know, there's a theory where they think that space is fucking, it bends around on itself. Almost like, if you were to go from Earth and you went one direction in space and you kept going, eventually you would fucking come back around and be back at Earth again. That's a fucking, no. For me, space is infinite. Like, it does not end. It just keeps going forever and ever and ever. I did touch on this on a different episode where space is actually just nothingness. So, you know, people say, oh, how did the fucking, you know, space begin or something? I'm like, no, there's nothing there. There's nothing there to start or end. What you're seeing is fucking stars and, you know, matter and stuff and all, but like, space itself, it's nothing. It's nothingness, and it just goes on forever. Now, here's the theory, right? And it's called the many worlds theory. And this is something I believe in. So, if you think about, right, space being infinite, right? Imagine space never ends. It just goes on forever. Then what are the chances of another Earth-like planet is in space and there is a person just like me on that planet doing a podcast? Like, if it's infinite, then it's, you know, then it's possible, isn't it? What do you think? And not only that, if space is infinite, then there's an infinite amount of Earth-like planets with an infinite amount of me. Imagine an infinite amount of me, fucking hell. And an infinite amount of me doing an infinite amount of podcasts. Like, I'll flip this around on you. So you're sitting listening to this. Well, on another world, fucking, I don't know how many light years away, you know, there's another you who's probably like, you know, different skin color or different hair color or different eye color or something like that, who's listening to my podcast, but on that planet. Do you know what I mean? And the thing about light years, right? Everybody thinks that light years is a time. Light years is not a unit of time. It's a unit of distance. So when you, you know, when you go from one, if one, one light year would take you a year. No, hang on. One light year would take it the speed of light to travel at a distance at 1 year. So it's a certain distance. Oh, fuck, I'm going to have to fucking figure this out. I know the speed. So a light year is 299,792,458 meters per second. Fucking hell, I'm melting my own brain here. Right, where was I before? Space, right? Yeah, so the many worlds theory suggests that there's like loads of fucking different planets out there. Like, it makes sense, doesn't it? For me, it makes sense that if space is infinite, then there is an infinite amount of planets out there. And what are the chances of Earth being the only place that humans or intelligent life is in an infinite fucking space? You know what I mean? If I honestly think that if you don't think that there's another Earth-like planet in space that's infinite, then, you know, you need to look into it. Because the more I look into it, even before I started looking into it, I was just like, yeah, space doesn't end, does it? No, well, there's bound to be another fucking planet out there with life on it. Never mind that, it's infinite. Yeah, so if it's infinite, then there's going to be an infinite amount of fucking planets, isn't there? There's a theory called the infinite monkey cage. Don't know if anybody is aware of that. So basically, no, hang on, Infinite Monkey Cage is a podcast, but the Infinite Monkey Theory or something. But it's basically where there's a theory that if you set a monkey down and then you put a keyboard in front of it and give it an infinite amount of time, it would eventually play fucking, something from Mozart or some shit. Hang on, let me just see if I can fucking... Right, I got a video here. So, what is Infinite Monkey Theorem?
A monkey's making a keyboard could write this play better than me.
Yeah, that would take too long. It's called the Infinite Monkey Theorem.
I was joking, but that doesn't sound real.
The Infinite Monkey Theorem is the theory that a monkey randomly pushing keys on a keyboard for an infinite amount of time could eventually write anything that's ever existed. Like a Shakespeare play, for example.
How would that even work?
Well, it all comes down to probability. The longer the keys are pushed, the more characters are generated. The more characters are generated, the higher the chance that they're generated in a sequence that forms words and sentences. In fact, a mathematician recently tested this on a line from Hamlet. He used a random character generation program in place of monkeys. So first, he calculated how many characters needed to be generated, and then how long it would take to come up with the words to be. It took 6/1000ths of a second to put the letters T and O together, and then 1100 seconds to form the words to be.
That's like 18 minutes, not too long.
But wait, there's still 35 characters left to go. Ultimately, the mathematician found that it would take 2.95 times 10 to the power of 66 seconds to generate the whole sentence, to be or not to be, that is the question. So that's 9.35 times 10 to the power of 58 years. Just for that one line, let alone the whole play.
So what you're saying is that it would take a long time, but it is possible for a monkey to produce a work of genius.
Well, different researchers tried to test the theorem with actual monkeys, 6 of them in fact. And after 2 months of slapping a keyboard, they mostly just typed a bunch of A's and S's and Q's. Well, technically, the
just shite.
So you should probably. Oh, get
I think
back
it speak
that.
Welsh.
Okay.
Well, there you go. So that's pretty much what I was saying. But you know, they used the analogy where the monkey sat in front of a keyboard. But you know. What was I thinking? Oh, a piano. I'm pretty sure the original one I heard was, you know, the monkey sits in front of the piano and if it just taps it for an infinite amount of time, it would eventually play something from fucking Mozart. But I suppose that, you know, both theories are correct. You heard a big number there, didn't you? If you're wondering what to the power means, so if you ever hear like 10 to the power of 2, 10 to the power of 5 or something like that, if you're like, what the fuck does to the power mean? Basically, if you see 10 to the power of 5, what you'll see is the number 10, and then you'll see a small little 5 in the top right-hand corner, and that's the power number. And basically what it means is 10 times itself 5 times. So there you go. So 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. In fact, I will look it up right now. So 10 to the power of 5. 10 times 10, that's twice, times 10, that's 3, 4, 5, oh shit, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you've got 1E10, what the fuck, obviously my calculator can't fucking work that one out, so I'm going to have to fucking Google it. 10 to the power of 5. Hang on. 10 to the power of 5. I'm trying to work out. 10 to the power of 5, which is 1. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a million. There you go. So 10 to the power of 5 is 1 million. So, yeah. So 10 times 10. Times 10, times 10, times 10. So there you go. So there's another little fucking thing. Because whenever you come across fucking infinity and all this kind of stuff, you always come across power numbers because it's, like, so big. I mean, infinity is just, like, it's the biggest fucking number, isn't it? But, yeah, so... Hey everybody, this podcast is sponsored by U-Tunes. Looking for something to make your wedding day extra special? Maybe you're hosting a corporate event, or even planning a birthday party, or a jago, or a bar mitzvah, the list goes on. Have you thought about hiring a caricature artist? Well, look no further than U-Tunes. U-Tunes offers a professional, full-time, multi-award-winning caricature artist on hand to draw and entertain you and your guests. Not only will they leave with a very unique keepsake from your event, they will also be entertained by the eye-watering, side-splitting stand-up comedy performed by the artist while he draws. Having a caricature artist at your event will definitely make it a unique experience for your guests. U-Tunes covers all over Britain and the Channel Islands, and their prices are reasonable and affordable. If you want to get more information about this, please get in contact with them through their website, utunes.co.uk, that's the letter utoons.co.uk, or simply just Google U-Tunes. You can find them on all social media platforms as well. So get in touch, guys, and hire a caricature artist for your event. Back to the podcast. So before we go any further, the two videos that I just played there, one was from Ted Ed. So he was the one that done that fucking, you know, the guy going halfway sort of thing. And then the other one was Scientific America. So those are two videos I just played there. So yeah, shout out to you two guys. Now, when it comes to religion, what does infinity mean? I remember a long time ago, I was standing outside a bus stop waiting for a bus, and some fucking random guy started chatting to me about religion. And, you know, I was quick to fucking point out that, yeah, I like science and facts and that kind of stuff, and I'm not actually religious. And he said to me, he's like, he was the one that actually said to me, you know, how does space end? And I was like, it doesn't. It goes on for infinity. And he goes, yes, that's God. God says that he's infinite. So, like, space is God. So, I'm going to fucking see if I can find anything religious about infinity, shall I? So, I got a video here, and it's by Cross Examined. And it says, what does it mean to say God is infinite, right? Now, I haven't seen this video. This is me literally watching it in real time with you guys. So, let's watch this, and we'll see what's going on here.
And then I wanted to go back to the infinite being thing, the concept that there can only be...
This one?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's great that it's up there.
What the fuck is hanging from her nose? I know it's some sort of a nose ring, but it looks like fucking earplugs or something.
A being that lacks something is not infinite.
Right.
I don't logically understand that because we know that we have different sizes of infinity. And we have different versions of infinity. For example, odd numbers go on infinitely just like even numbers do. And they're not lacking anything in being even or being odd. Mm-hmm. So how can there not be two gods that is a god of this and a god of that?
Well, because this is not theoretical mathematics here. What we're talking about here is a god who has attributes like justice and love and knowledge, and he's immaterial, he's spaceless. The attributes that he has aren't limited. If they were limited, then he wouldn't be the uncomposed, infinite, completely actualized being. There would have to be some other being that would have to have created him, because everything that's composed or has potential must be created by something else other than it. And you can't go on an infinite regress. Ultimately, you're going to get back to an uncomposed, completely actualized, infinite being that lacks nothing.
Fuck, even I don't have a fucking clue what he just said. What? Okay, there's more to this. Let's see if we can fucking... I don't fucking... So she's saying that because infinite... She said infinite was like two things or something. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. I should have picked a fucking easier... I should have picked a... Like, talked about Disney programs or something. We'll crack on.
I know this is difficult. It is. It's not easy to wrap your mind around.
Yep.
Half the time, I don't get it. Okay? But it's stuff that if you study long enough, you realize, yeah, this does make sense, even though I can't get my mind around. In fact, somebody put it this way. It would be strange if an infinite God wasn't strange to us. Think about that. I mean, if God is infinite, has no limits, it would be strange if that being wasn't strange to us. Why? Because everything that you and I understand in this world is finite. Everything physical is finite, right? It's put together. This is one reason why, by the way, in the Ten Commandments, it says don't make any graven image. No. Why? What's the big deal with graven images? Because any image you make of an infinite being necessarily limits his majesty. You can't draw a picture of infinity. You can draw a picture of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had two natures. He had a divine nature and a human nature. You can draw the human nature. You can't draw the divine nature. It's infinite. It has no limits. That's why the closest thing in our experience to an infinite being are the heavens. Stars equivalent to grains of sand on all the beaches on all the earth over 200,000 years at 5 miles a second between those stars. Mm-hmm. That gives us some kind of comprehension of what infinity means.
I mean... Sorry for wasting your fucking time there, guys. I would have to fucking watch that again just to sort of grasp it. But do you know something? I'm fucking no comment. Like, do you get it? Like, because that video, I don't fucking get it, to be honest. But that'll be on the Stewie Studs podcast Facebook page and Instagram. So if you want to fucking check that video out, guys, and make up your own sort of mind on that. But you know. I don't know. I don't fucking know. And there's another one, right? So, the Infinite Hotel, right? So this is another fucking mind-boggling fucking thing. Hang on, I'll try and find this, and then we'll, let's see if you can work this one out. Okay, so I've got another video here, and it's by none other than Ted Ed. Welcome back, Ted Ed. This one is the Infinite Hotel Paradox. Now, if I haven't fucking fried your brain already, this is definitely going to fucking fry it, because the first time I came across this Infinite Hotel thing, I was just like, what? Like, my brain was just fucking pouring out my ears. So let me see if you can fucking work this one out, guys. Set brain to fun.
In the 1920s, the German mathematician David Hilbert devised a famous thought experiment to show us just how hard it is to wrap our minds around the concept of infinity. Imagine a hotel with an infinite number of rooms and a very hard-working night manager. One night, the infinite hotel is completely full, totally booked up with an infinite number of guests. A man walks into the hotel and asks for a room. Rather than turn him down, the night manager decides to make room for him. How? Easy. He asks the guest in room number one to move to room two, the guest in room two to move to room three, and so on. Every guest moves from room number n to room number n plus one. Since there are an infinite number of rooms, there is a new room for each existing guest. This leaves room 1 open for the new customer. The process can be repeated for any finite number of new guests. If, say, a tour bus unloads 40 new people looking for rooms, then every existing guest just moves from room number N to room number N plus 40, thus opening up the first 40 rooms. But now, an infinitely large bus with a countably infinite number of passengers pulls up to rent rooms. Countably infinite is the key. Now, the infinite bus of infinite passengers perplexes the night manager at first, but he realizes there's a way to place each new person. He asks the guest in room 1 to move to room 2. He then asks the guest in room 2 to move to room 4, the guest in room 3 to move to room 6, and so on. Each current guest moves from room number N to room number 2N. Filling up all...
Are you with us? Anybody sitting there fucking wonder what the fuck's going on here?
Infinite, even-numbered rooms. By doing this, he has now emptied all of the infinitely many odd-numbered rooms, which are then taken by the people filing off the infinite bus. Everyone's happy, and the hotel's business is booming more than ever. Well, actually, it is booming exactly the same amount as ever, banking an infinite number of dollars a night. Word spreads about this incredible hotel. People pour in from far and wide. One night, the unthinkable happens. The night manager looks outside and sees an infinite line of infinitely large buses, each with a countably infinite number of passengers. What can he do? If he cannot find rooms for them, the hotel will lose out on an infinite amount of money, and he will surely lose his job. Luckily, he remembers that around the year 300 BCE, Euclid proved that there is an infinite quantity of prime numbers. So to accomplish this seemingly impossible task of finding infinite beds for infinite buses up...
I mean, the cleaning lady, she would fucking get it.
...infinite weary travelers. The night manager assigns every current guest to the first prime number, 2, raised to the power of their current room number. So, the current occupant of room number 7 goes to room number 2 to the 7th power, which is room 128. The night manager then takes the people on the first of the infinite buses and assigns them to the room number of the next prime, 3, raised to the power of their seat number on the bus.
So there he goes with the power number again, guys. Told you, whenever you fucking start looking into infinity, power numbers, they seem to pop up all the fucking time.
The person in seat number 7 on the first bus goes to room number 3 to the 7th power, or room number 2187. This continues for all of the first bus. The passengers on the second bus are assigned powers of the next prime, 5. The following bus, powers of 7. Each bus follows powers of 11, powers of 13, powers of 17, etc. Since each of these numbers only has 1 and the natural number powers of their prime number base as factors, there are no overlapping room numbers. All the bus's passengers fan out into rooms using unique room assignment schemes based on unique prime numbers. In this way, the night manager can accommodate every passenger on every bus, although there will be many rooms that go unfilled, like room 6, since 6 is not a power of any prime number. Luckily, his bosses weren't very good in math, so his job is safe. The night manager's strategies are only possible because while the Infinite Hotel is certainly a logistical nightmare, it only deals with the lowest level of infinity, namely the countable infinity of the natural numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. Georg Cantor called this level of infinity Aleph Zero. We use natural numbers for the room numbers as well as the seat numbers on the buses. If we were dealing with higher orders of infinity, such as that of the real numbers, these structured strategies would no longer be possible, as we have no way to systematically include every number. The real number infinite hotel has negative number rooms in the basement, fractional rooms, so the guy in room 1/2 always suspects he has less room than the guy in room 1, square root rooms like room radical 2, and room pi, where the guests expect free dessert. What self-respecting night manager would ever want to work there, even for an infinite salary? But over at Hilbert's Infinite Hotel, where there's never any vacancy and always room for more, the scenarios faced by the ever-diligent and maybe too hospitable night manager serve to remind us of just how hard it is for our relatively finite minds to grasp a concept as large as infinity. Maybe you can help tackle these problems after a good night's sleep, but honestly, we might need you to change rooms at 2 a.m.
Okay, do you get that? Do you all understand that? fuck me. So in summary, basically what they're saying is, imagine having a hotel with infinite amount of rooms and there's an infinite amount of people in there and then somebody else wants to come in. So it's basically trying to say that it's almost like a mathematical way of proving that you can go for like an infinite plus one or something. Fuck knows, man. Fucking, man. Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, so that video is going to be on there as well, but you might want to listen to this fucking podcast about 1,000 times before you get a grasp of what's going on here. I think we'll Professor Brian Cox, he's always a good one, isn't he? So let's see what he has to say about fucking infinity. So infinity. Brian Cox. Brian sucks the Cox. Right, that video is 10 minutes long. I'm not gonna go and listen to that. Professor Brian Cox on teleportation. Yeah, that'll be a fucking episode on its own. Can I get one here? Bear with me. Okay, I found one. So this is Professor Brian Cox on Infinity.
Can you picture infinity? Well, no one can picture infinity. There's a weird thing as well about, you know, we say the universe began 13.8 billion years ago. So that's a measurement. So because we can measure the speed that all the galaxies are flying away from us, essentially. And then you can run time backwards, if you like, so to find out when they were all on top of each other. And so it's a quite simple measurement, and we've done that. So we say the universe began 13.8 billion years ago. But actually, all we know really was the universe was very hot and very dense at that time. And we have some theories that the universe was in existence before that, and perhaps some sort of circumstantial evidence. And that means that actually the universe could have always been there, eternal. And when I talk to people sometimes, they get a bit... Some people get upset about that. Some people would rather it had a beginning. And yeah. The idea that it might have been around forever is more frightening somehow than the fact that it began. Now, it's interesting the way people's minds work.
Well, there you go. So, fucking... I mean, I tried to get a video of like him just explaining what infinity is, but they're all like fucking 2 hours long and stuff, and I fucking don't want to keep you that long. But there you go. There's my fucking thoughts on infinity. If you've lasted to the end of this episode, guys, fair fucking play to you. And if you understand a single fucking thing that's been said in this episode, then fair fucking play to you. Because it is a bit of a confusing situation. But to summarize, like, infinity, what else is infinite? Time's infinite, isn't it? I would say. Because, like, you know, time moves forward in one direction. So it can't go back. You can speed it up and slow it down by going at the speed of light and all that kind of shit. But it's always traveling forward. And it never stops, does it? So time just keeps going and going. So time is infinite. Space is infinite. God apparently is infinite. I don't know. I'm fucking... My head's fucking fried already. But, you know... Oh, shit. Sorry. But if it's something that you... If you even like this episode, guys, and I would definitely look into it more because it opens your mind a lot whenever you start thinking about shit like this. It opens my fucking mind, I tell you that. And I would definitely recommend watching that Trip to Infinity program on Netflix. I think you might, if you like, you know, if you've clicked onto this episode and you're like, oh, I want to know about infinity, definitely watch that, because it could probably explain everything way more than what I can. But, you know, infinity, not many people fucking even think about it. It's something that people just doesn't, you know, why would some normal person just sit there and think about infinity? I'm not fucking normal, I'll tell you that. Every time I fucking come up with some fucking idea, it's always weird shit like this, and I'm like, why have I never thought about this? Like, and now that I've sort of dabbled into it, and, you know, it really sends my mind fucking all over the place, and I'm just like, hang on a second. There's an infinite amount of space, so there's an infinite amount of planets, so there must be another one of me? My God. So there you go, everyone. I hope you've actually learned something from this. If you haven't, then, you know, what? Listen to my farts episode. That's probably more of your level. Like, if you don't want to fucking listen to this kind of shit. But yeah, there you go. I've done it. I've managed to reach an hour talking about Infinity. My next one's going to be a bit more funnier, I think. So I'll look at my little folder and I'll think about what I'm going to do next. But this has been my episode and my thoughts about Infinity. Cheers. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll catch you on the rebound. See yous, guys. Cheers.